The Dick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. I love it when people say they've seen me on the Pella commercials on TV. I love hearing that because my experience with Pella was top-notch. The showroom in Omaha was amazing. The service, the finished product, it was first class the entire way. Make sure you check out their showrooms in Lincoln and in Omaha and check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Dick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Shoot360 Lincoln. My brother and I are owners of the world's most advanced basketball training facility right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's a membership-based national franchise that uses NBA-level technology that provides real-time feedback after every shooting, passing, and ball handling rep you take inside of our amazing, amazing facility. And we have an amazing website that you can check out, shoot360lincoln.com. That's shoot360lincoln.com. You can learn more about the facility, the technology, and the big thing you can do is you can sign up for your free one-hour workout. All you have to do, go to shoot360lincoln.com, click request free workout, fill out the I'm interested in becoming a member tab, and soon you're going to get your free one-hour workout. 30 minutes of shooting, 30 minutes of ball handling, and you are set. So do it today. Shoot360lincoln.com. And this pod is brought to you by the Autograph app. The Autograph app was co-founded by Tom Brady, and this app is amazing. Think of it like a rewards program, but for just being a fan and doing what you do as a fan in terms of consuming content, reading about your team, listening to podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. And the more you use it, the more points you earn, which then unlocks rewards for you. Download the Autograph app and use the code BAHE, B-A-H-E, that's my last name. Use the code BAHE, B-A-H-E. Download the Autograph app today. Okay, on the pod today, I wanted to hit on some of my final four thoughts, but I wanted to start with Nebraska basketball and some of their offseason stuff early on in just a couple of weeks as their season came to an end. So I've gotten a whole bunch of tweets and I've even gotten some text messages to me saying, hey, what is going on with Nebraska basketball? Of course, this is a reaction to a lot of players entering the transfer portal on Nebraska's roster. C.J. Wilcher, Jamarcus Lawrence, Matar Jope, Ramel Lloyd, Eli Rice, and Blaze Cada all have entered the portal. And, you know, so I'll give you the answer I gave my buddy who texted me. Why is Nebraska losing so many players to the portal? What's going on? I said, my thought is Fred Hoiberg is going to recruit over all those guys. And let's be real. You know, three of those guys on this list that hit the portal didn't play this year. And I just don't know how many of those guys that I just listed are like legit, like true difference makers. C.J. Wilcher is maybe the only one that kind of surprised me. I've always felt like Jamarcus Lawrence was a little hit and miss. And again, the rest of the guys didn't really play this year. Could there have been a role for Eli Rice? I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean, he played a little bit as a freshman, not going to act like he had no, you know, he had some talent, but I'm not freaking out over that. I guess that's how I see it. I hate to sound harsh, but you know, not one of those guys leaving has me thinking, oh boy, oh my God, oh wow, what a gut punch. How is Nebraska going to recover? Like, I don't think that at all. I think Fred Hoiberg's plan is to go find some better players than a lot of those guys. The main core you want to keep and you needed to keep are Bryce Williams, Juwan Gary, Rink Mast, and Sam Hoiberg. Those are the guys you had to keep. And I suppose Aaron Ulis too, but I don't know what to read into that situation. But you just start there, like those guys. You start with that core, and then I think Fred Hoiberg is thinking, okay, I need to go find four or five impact transfer guys. You think about needs. Nebraska needs a five-man with size and physicality to replace Alec and give depth to Rink Mast. And ideally, you know, a guy that can run some of the five-out stuff that Fred Hoiberg runs, you know, that Derek Walker did, and then obviously what Rink Mast did. You need a five-man. You need to get a real starting point guard, a real one, which is what Nebraska didn't have all year. They needed a real player at that spot. That's what you got to go get a point guard. You need to go get more three-point shooting. You lose your two best shooters in Tominaga and CJ Wilcher. You need some real shooters on this roster. And then I think Nebraska needs some athleticism. They need an athletic wing slash forward. I talked about this in my recap pod of the Texas A&M loss. Nebraska, I think, was pretty average athletically, and you could see that against Texas A&M. And I think they need one or two 6'5 to 6'7 athletic three or four men, and one ideally can shoot, and the other can ideally create with the ball in their hands. So, portal point guard, portal big man, portal shooter, portal athlete. And ideally, they are all ready to play and make an impact right away. That's how I see it right now. I don't think there's any reason to panic or question anything if you're a Nebraska basketball fan. I actually kind of like what's happening, assuming they land some real players in the portal. Which, listen, quietly, Hoiberg's done a really good job in the portal the last couple of years. Griesel, hit. Derek Walker, hit. Bandamel, hit. Juwan Gary, hit. Alec, hit. Bryce Williams, hit. Rink Mast, hit. So I think Fred Hoiberg and this staff, they're doing a good job. They're doing a good job finding the right guys. And I think this is absolutely true, what I'm about to say. I think Nebraska is in a completely different place perception-wise after this last season. Completely different. Nebraska went to the NCAA tournament. Nebraska finished third in the Big Ten. Nebraska was undefeated at home in Big Ten conference play. Nebraska was top 10 nationally in attendance. Nebraska has a great atmosphere that had two court storms. I think Nebraska went from a phone call some portal guys may have hit decline to now really wanting to answer that call. Not to mention that Fred Hoiberg runs an NBA-style offense, which is, you know, something that is very attractive to recruits as well. But I think the perception and the lens at which Nebraska basketball is viewed is different this right now than it was a year ago. Now, let's not make it out to be like Nebraska basketball's, you know, North Carolina or UConn or Kansas or anything like that, but it's certainly in a different place than it was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and beyond. Coming off a tournament appearance, everything that all the success they had this year, especially the great atmosphere at home. I mean, and then not to mention the Nebraska's NIL situation with the 1890 initiative is very solid. You get to play for a very, I think, a player-friendly coach in Fred Hoiberg that runs a good system. You're going to play in front of 14,000 fans that give a you-know-what. You got a pretty good core you're walking into that won a lot of games last year. Like, it's a world where that's a lot more attractive than it was a year ago. So, for me, no worries on this whole situation over the last few weeks of all the different guys that have gone into the portal. I get how fans see that many players leave after a good year and it kind of lands weird, but I don't think it means anything fishy is going on. Like, I think you can upgrade Wilcher and Lawrence, and the rest of the dudes basically didn't play. I think Nebraska now has the space and the opportunity to really improve their roster. Okay, let's talk a little Final Four real quick. Just quick pod for you today. So, NC State, Purdue, Bama, UConn. Just like everyone predicted. I mean, a lot of people had UConn and Purdue, but NC State, come on. Bama, I don't think anybody felt like that defense was going to be able to win four games and get all the way to the Final Four. But here these teams are. NC State, I want to talk about them first. First of all, this NC State story, I love it. I love it because it is what makes college basketball special and different than any other sport, in that regardless of what situation you're in and regardless of how your season has gone, the hope that March affords and presents to every college basketball team, that you can control your own destiny come March, no matter what has happened, that's cool. And boy, has NC State done that. NC State, 2-7 in their 9 games heading into the ACC tournament. So, I mean, it wasn't even like they were playing well heading into the ACC tournament. Kevin Keats was on the hot seat. And what do? They win 9 games in 20 days. They win the ACC tournament. They get into the NCAA tournament as an 11 seed. Knock off Texas Tech. Knock off the Cinderella Oakland. Knock off Marquette. Knock off Duke. And now they're in the Final Four. I love that. I love that college basketball is one of the sports that, like, you, at the end of the day, you control your own destiny come March. I love it. So with this matchup with Purdue, I mean, all eyes are going to be on the DJ Burns Zach Edey matchup. Can DJ Burns, who is just a legitimate refrigerator out there, can he push Zach Edey, who is a monster out there, 7'4", 300 pounds? Can Burns push Edey's post-ups out a little further? Can NC State defend without fouling? Because that's a huge part of what Zach Edey does. He just fouls your whole front line out. Like, he just gets at your starting five man, your backup five man, your four man. He just gets everybody into foul trouble. Zach Edey shoots 11.5 free throws a game. That's a ton. His ability to get to the free throw line is elite. How successful would DJ Burns be defending Zach Edey? And then how successful would DJ Burns be at scoring on Zach Edey? I'm not sure. My guess is that Edey gets DJ Burns into foul trouble like he does almost everybody. But one of the biggest things with this game is the three-point line. So NC State is very fortunate to be in the Final Four in that they were very lucky that Marquette and Duke couldn't throw it in the ocean from three. Marquette was 4-for-31 from three. Duke was 5-for-20 from three. So NC State's last two opponents combined for 9-for-51 from three. And it ain't like NC State was defending the three-point line and the shooters incredible and running guys off the line. Nah. No. Especially that Marquette game. There was a cut-up on Twitter I saw of all of Marquette's missed threes, and they were wide open. I'm talking wide open threes. So 9-for-51 from three were NC State's last two opponents. I don't think that's going to happen with Purdue. Purdue, number 2 three-point shooting team in the country. Purdue shoots at almost 41% as a team. I don't think Purdue is going to go 4-for-30 from three. And that is what makes Purdue special. Like, they got this 7'4", transcendent, all-time great big man in Zach Edey that they are just relentless at throwing the ball into. It is amazing the way Matt Painter has that group totally bought in. And, like, every play is to try to throw the ball inside to Zach Edey. Like, that's, even if it doesn't get to him, the action they run is to try to get him in the post, and maybe that sucks the defense in and that creates opportunities, or they throw it into Edey, he sprays it out to shooters on the three-point line, or they throw it into Edey and he scores. Rinse and repeat.
Big news, I'm excited to be working with Autograph, co-founded by the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. The Autograph app is where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like you access to all the best college sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards like discounted tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing the things you already do as a fan, like listening to this podcast, following news on your team, sharing your favorite content, and more. Download the free Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play Store today and use the referral code BAH, my last name, B-A-H-E. That's referral code BAH, B-A-H-E. See you at the game.
But I think offensively, like I look at this game and I'm like, man, I think Zach Edey gets DJ Burns into foul trouble. I think Purdue is going to make their open threes. And I think Purdue is going to win by 10, probably. What would be my guess? I would say the other NC State Wolfpack player that needs to have a big game would probably be DJ Horn, just because Edey runs drop coverage on ball screens, and you need a player that can come off those screens and score. It's one of the reasons Northwestern, if you've noticed, has given Purdue problems. It's because Boo Booey can come off those ball screens, and he can score. He can shoot threes. He can snake in there and hit 17-footers. Like a year ago, Jalen Hood-Schifino for Indiana. Indiana beat Purdue at Purdue because Jalen Hood-Schifino could come off a ball screen against drop coverage and shred it. So, and they need DJ Horn, I think, to be that guy. But I just, any way you slice it, like, I think Burns gets in, Edey gets Burns into foul trouble. Purdue makes their threes. Purdue wins. The other game, Bama-UConn. I was all in on Bama's offense. They still do. They rank outside of the top 100 in KenPom's defensive efficiency rankings. And I just was like, man, over the course of four games, like they're just not going to be able to be good enough defensively. But they found a way. And you get enough stops, that offense is legit. And the big thing, I mean, Sears is a big time player, and he is playing at a big time high level. And before I get to, you know, fawning over UConn, which is what I'm going to do, I will say this in terms of, like, the matchup. You know, what does it take to beat UConn? What is it going to take? Honestly, it feels like it's going to take a team that just gets ridiculously nuclear hot from three. It's going to take a team that throws in 15, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 threes. Like, that's what it feels like right now. I mean, guys, UConn has won 10 straight NCAA tournament games by double figures. Like, this is, they are on an unprecedented run of hammering people right now in the tournament. And they're looking to become the first back-to-back champs since 06-07 Florida Gators, Billy Donovan, Horford, Noah, that whole crew. But they are crushing people. And with knowing that and watching how UConn has played, you go, okay, what is it going to take? It's going to take a team that probably gets hot from three. Well, guess what? Bama can do that. Bama can do that. Bama is number two in the country in three-point field goals made per game. They make 11.2 threes a game. Bama has 20 games this year where they've made 10 or more threes, and they've had four games this year where they've made 18 or more threes. They're the number one scoring offense in the country at 90 points per game. Like, I think it was going to take a superb offensive shooting display, i.e. like what Creighton did to UConn when they beat them in Omaha. Or I thought you better be like, I thought maybe Houston had the chops to beat them, just because Houston maybe had, like, they could match the physicality and the toughness and the grit. But I also felt like, man, it just needs to be a team that can shoot it. And Bama can do that. But I don't think it's going to matter. I don't think it's going to matter. UConn, I mean, what they did to Illinois, I thought Illinois was one of the four or five best teams in the country, and they made Illinois look like a junior varsity team in the second half. 30-0 run, and it was, like, laughable. Once the levee broke, it was laughable. hammered San Diego State. I mean, they are crushing people. And John Fanta, my guy at Fox Sports, he wrote a really cool story on FoxSports.com where he reached out to a lot of different coaches that have coached against UConn or broadcasters that have broadcasted UConn and asked them what makes UConn special. And I was, you know, I was fortunate enough for Fanta to reach out to me and ask me to be a part of the story. Here's what I wrote. This was my quote in the story on kind of like how I would describe UConn and what makes them great. I wrote, incredible combination of toughness, depth, talent, passion, and purpose. And I think purpose is the thing that stands out to me. Lots of teams have talent or are tough, but those things without purpose can only get you so far. How Danny Hurley gets them to execute with incredible purpose collectively on offense and defense is remarkable. I've seen teams more talented. Heck, last year's UConn team was more talented. But it's the combination of talent, toughness, depth, and passion combined with purpose that makes them special. I'm also not sure there has ever been a good team that mirrors their head coach's personality more than this UConn team. And that is also a testament to Danny Hurley and the job he's done. So that's kind of a, I know it's kind of broad, but I look at UConn and I'm like, they go 8 or 9 deep of real players, like real dudes. There's anyone you throw out there where you're like, man, we're just trying to get our starter a rest while we're trying to survive with that guy on the floor. No, they have real depth. That depth plays hard, and that depth executes both ends of the floor with legitimate purpose. Offensively, they run great stuff and they really execute it. Defensively, they really fly around, handle screens, cover for each other. Like their purpose and passion is just incredible. And I think Danny's like chip on his shoulder, like nobody respects it. Like I think that helps them keep them like sharp. I mean, I heard, it's funny listening to him today, like if we were, you know, if we were Duke, a Kentucky, a Kansas, they'd be talking about us way more. I'm like, I think people are talking about you quite a bit, Danny. But he's got it like, he's a Jersey guy. Like, what are you looking at, tough guy, huh? Well, you think you're better than me? Like, that's kind of what he is. And I love Danny. And I think he's a hell of a coach. And he's got a hell of a team. And that team is confident, but they are never complacent. And that's a returning champ. And maybe that's the Cam Spencer thing. Like, I think Cam Spencer being new, he brought some new blood and new life into that locker room of he's incredibly competitive and incredibly passionate that keeps everybody on point. But I'm not, I mean what I said, like, I think last year's UConn team was probably more talented. I mean, it's a lot of these same guys, except they had Jordan Hawkins, baller in the NBA, Andre Jackson, baller in the NBA, and Adama Sanoga, big-time scorer inside. But this group, man, they have hit a stride. They have hit a level. Ooh. And so with this Bama game, like, so Bama's all, they're really heavy into the analytics of like, hey, we're shooting layups and threes. That's it. Well, good luck living on layups on Donovan Clingan. Good luck. Like, you know, and Greg McDermott said it after the fact, when Creighton beat UConn, Creighton's plan was to not even challenge Clingan at the rim. They didn't even challenge him. They were like, they made a decision, like, you come into the paint and he's there, land on 2 feet, kick it out, or keep your dribble alive, Nash dribble out of there and spray it out. They didn't not even challenge him. It's not worth it. He's gonna block it. You're not gonna score on him. He's gonna block it, and he's oftentimes gonna get the party started in transition. So I thought it was funny when Brad Underwood was like, I don't care if he blocks 100 shots, we're going to keep on going at him. I'm like, okay, yikes, because look what happened. He is enormous, and he's really good. So I guess I say that to say, I mean, UConn's a second-ranked two-point field goal percentage defense. Klingon, I think, erases everything at the rim, so they become even more three-point reliant. And that's where the intelligence and the purpose, I just think defensively they're going to be sharp and not allow Bama to just tee up threes. They're going to run them off three-point line, force everything to the rim, and Klingon's going to be there to alter it or throw it to the 15th row or throw it out and get the party started in transition. So I think Bama wins pretty, or excuse me, geez, I think UConn wins over Bama pretty comfortably. And then it sets up just an amazing matchup. Purdue-UConn. Like, can Klingon guard Edie? Can he do it? Hunter Dickinson kind of wanted no part of Klingon. But not a lot of big guys have had a lot of success on, like, straight up poke. Because that's the thing with, like, you can maybe the way you score on Klingon is you got to get him, like, it's pick roll, like you got to be a roller finisher. That's not Edie's a post up back to the basket guy. Can he do that on Klingon? I'm not sure he can. I think Klingon can guard or at least slow down Edie, and I think that ability for UConn to play one-on-one in the post, which a lot of teams don't have. That's why Creighton could have done it too. Kalkbrenner, I think, would have guarded him one-on-one, which just would have been so interesting. But UConn can do that with Klingon. So then that allows them to stay attached to Braden Smith and Fletcher Laurier and everybody, for all the shooters, Mason Gillis. And now Purdue's offense gets a little bit more, because they rely on throwing it into Edie, him scoring, or him manufacturing shots of the attention he attracts. And I think UConn's going to try and defend him straight up, and I think UConn's going to be able to get it done. And I think UConn's going back-to-back. They've hit a level, man. They've hit a level where it's like they know they're better than you, and they can't wait to show it. They know they're better than you, but there's zero complacency. Like, the confidence that you can feel from Danny and that team is unique. Because it's combined with, like, this edge. That's what's, like, these dudes, there's a hunger with that group. It's like they're not, a lot of those guys, like, play like they've never won a thing in their life, and they're just trying to prove everybody, every possession, like just their life's on the line. It's amazing to watch those that group compete. And I mean, UConn is a freight train, and I am staying on that train. I think they win. I mean, they're -195 for the title this weekend. So there you go. Couple of thoughts on the Final Four there. Be sure to keep it locked. Got a bunch more stuff coming up pretty soon. I'm sure Bo Rude and I are going to start to dive into spring football. Certainly there's a lot going on in the world of Nebraska football that we'll get into as well. So make sure you are always checking that podcast feed. My thanks to Shoot360 Lincoln. Make sure you go to shoot360lincoln.com. Fill out that I'm interested form. You can get your free 1-hour workout. Hopefully it can turn you into a member. Shouts out to the Autograph app, and shouts out to Pella Windows and Doors. We'll catch you next time on the Nick Bob Podcast.